And let's look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Now, we've been reading Matthew's account of this, but here in Mark chapter 9, I want you to see something on a different side of this same story, but Mark's account. And we're going to look at Mark chapter 9, and let's start at verse 19. And again, this is where the dad had a boy who basically had a demon. It presented in a certain way, almost like a seizure. And the dad took him to the disciples, took him to the other Christians. Because, you know, all Christians are supposed to be able to cast out demons. All Christians, I mean, this is basic believer stuff. Basic stuff, all right? And so Jesus answered and said unto him, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then he brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. So this is what we've talked about. This is the first time we're reading on this account, where this is what happens. As soon as the boy comes to Jesus, or the father brings him to Jesus, he convulses. Now, you have to realize, when you are stepping out to believe, everyone say, I believe God. When you're stepping out to believe the things of God, believe the Word of God, the enemy recognizes that, and he has to come immediately. Now, the reason why I say he comes immediately, because in Matthew, all three of the Gospels that talks about the sower sowing the Word, the Bible says, when the Word is sown in our hearts, immediately. That's where I get that from. So when you're hearing the Word of God and you step out to start being a doer of the Word, because we're not just hearers only, is that correct? We are doers. It ain't going to work if you're a hearer only. It's only going to work if we are a doer. The word doer in the original Greek is a word that literally means poet or a performer. So in other words, if you are acting out the Word, if you are demonstrating the Word, then you are a doer of the Word. And so I can preach one thing here, but if I'm not doing the Word, it's not going to work. Does that make sense? Okay, so here Jesus is telling them, okay, you know, well, what's going on here? And immediately the boy comes and the devil presents himself and shows off. That's what that is. You know, my pastor was preaching in the Punjabi region of India, the northern region. He said all the places he's been all over the world, that's been one of the most demonic regions. And he said he walks into the church, and I think it was I might be wrong, but I know it was two people. I think they were husband and wife. Immediately they start levitating about 5 foot off the ground, kind of floating around. And what the devil was trying to do was intimidate my pastor. And of course, one of the things my pastor said, he said, you know, you don't let the devil entertain you. Now, some people do. They go watch things, they do things, they let the devil entertain them. But you know, I didn't say that out loud, did I? Anyway, so he said, don't ever let the devil entertain you, because what you allow to entertain you will get in you. So as soon as they start levitating, he said, in Jesus' name, I command you to get out. And so sure enough, as soon as he said that, those devils that were on the people took off, which means they dropped to the ground 5 foot. And so anyway, yeah, I don't know. I didn't ask if they were hurt or anything. But all that being said, the devil wants to intimidate you. That's why when you sow a seed, or God's dealing with you to sow a seed, all of a sudden the appliance breaks, or all of a sudden this happens, or the car breaks down. You know, you're preparing to sow something, and all of a sudden, you know, for Christians that maybe haven't tithed before, a lot of times, you know, the Lord's speaking to them about tithing, and then all of a sudden the car breaks down and they need that money to tithe. Man, listen, I've heard people say before, you know, well, I can't afford to tithe, and we know our statement of that is, I can't afford not to. Listen, that's not a cliche. That's not a cliche, because my finances goes into my future. Does that make sense? You know, Keys and I, we over the past couple weeks, we've got a chance to sow some real big seeds, some first fruits, and some good tithes. And why do we do that? Because we believe this stuff, and we are standing and believing and agreeing for some major harvests in our lives. And so what gives me the right to receive the impossible? Very simply, by doing the crazy. Now, what am I saying by crazy? Nobody in their right mind will give some of the numbers that some of us give. We wouldn't sow or give some of the amounts of money to ministries that we've been giving, but we believe this stuff, and in order to break the back of poverty or in order to break out of the current norm, something has got to give. And if we keep doing the same things over and over and over again, number one, we're going to get hard-hearted. We're going to become very hard-hearted, and we're going to assume that now it no longer is my fault that things aren't happening in my family, my finances, my children. Somewhere God is doing something or not allowing something to happen because evidently I have got it all together and I've got it all figured out. You see what I'm saying? Now, let me go to work on everybody else's problem. Y'all know how people do that? You know, they got all this junk going on and that, you know, it's God's fault, the reason why things are going on in their life. So to help with the condemnation, they're going to go and pick out somebody else's problems. Listen, let's make sure that we're finding out what's going on. You know, I said this before, it's so important to get this. When there is an airplane crash, the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Bureau, they do not release the accident scene until an investigation is done so they know what caused the failure. Christians aren't like that. We will assume that was the God, or we'll assume, well, we know that was the devil, but why? Where did he get entrance? What happened? Because surely I didn't give him entrance. You know, fear gives the enemy entrance. Do you know doubt gives the enemy entrance? Our words give the enemy entrance. We've got to sharpen ourselves that we're not doing that. Amen? All right. So back to this right here. Then they brought him to Jesus, and when he saw him immediately, the spirit convulsed him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So Jesus asked, how long has this been happening? Now I want you to see this, because Jesus didn't flip out like the disciples did. You see, this is the reason why the disciples couldn't cast them out, because as soon as the dad brought the boy over to the disciples, the boy did the same thing. He did the same thing, but as soon as, you know, they're all, oh yeah, bring him to me, I'll lay hands on him, you know, and as the dad brings him forth, all of a sudden, he's foaming and falls down. Oh, yeah, no, Jesus, that's for you. He needs you. You see what I'm saying? And so something physical happens and we freak out. Now, I've been there, so I know what I'm talking about, so I ain't going to lie to you. But something rather, you know, in your body or your finances or your family, listen, all those opportunities, the whole reason why the enemy throws them at us is to get us to freak out and step away from faith. In other words, we know what the Bible says, but you know what? That's a little crazy. I'm out of here. I'm not going to. Now, we would never admit to doing that or saying that or even thinking that, but I don't know how many times we've done that where all of a sudden we're getting ready to step out. We have got to get out of the regular, everyday normal. You see, even our going to work and doing our work things, we can do those things by faith and begin to see God operate in our secular jobs. You know, I love hearing Brother Chris talk about what he does, you know, farming and ranching, you know, all the different things he uses faith for, you know, on the ranch, you know, working cattle. We can do that, and God wants us to do that. You know, this week I was listening to, and I think it was a Believers Convention from last year, and I was listening to, I forgot who it was, but one of the things they were talking about was the fact that we were not created to do what can be done naturally. And so we have got to stop doing natural things and start believing and doing bigger things. If we don't have our heart set on something bigger than we can accomplish ourselves, we don't have our vision from God. See, a vision from God demands His work, His ability, His help on our behalf. We were never created on the natural way. We were never created to do things by ourselves. Well, that's what churches are for. We weren't created to do things alone. Now, I know you got people that, you know, well, I'm a self-sufficient machine. We could do this ourselves. I don't need you. Listen, sorry, but that's not how we were created. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12, it talks about the purpose of fivefold ministry. There is a purpose for fivefold ministry, no matter how spiritually mature we are. I need fivefold ministry in my life. And so again, We've got to make sure that we're believing bigger, that we're going over the top. Don't look at attainable goals. Now, I know. We go through different courses and classes. You know, you got to have some small wins. Listen, a small win is a win with the Word. And so instead of just natural wins, because anybody can get a natural win. You know, you can work hard, you can do this, but when you use your faith starting on small things, use your faith on small things. Amen? All right, amen? Okay, good deal. So back to this right here in verse 22, and often he was thrown both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on him and help us. You know, one of the problems in our society right now that you're seeing is all the things that are called mental illness. Listen, we have answers for that. There's a lot of demonic stuff, like this thing that happened over there in El Paso. There's a lot of demonic stuff. We have to teach people how to get rid of demonic influence and how to not give in to the impulses of the flesh. There are impulses the enemy shows. And so again, back to this right here, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to them who believe. Everyone say if. This dad, you know, he's telling us that if you can believe, all things are possible. And so the question is there impossibility or possibility? That's not the question. The question is, can you believe? If you can believe. And then watch what he says in verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears. So you could say, you could see this is a heartfelt thing. I mean, this is your child. This is your baby, okay? He says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You see, this is where lots of us are. We know the Word of God is true. We know there's nothing impossible for God. We all know that. But there is still the factor of unbelief. So again, we can believe in our heart, but our head has got the unbelief saying, oh man, this is just crazy. This is impossible. You know, a great testimony from Paul and Angel this morning about how God is doing some impossible, you know, what should be impossible. But again, we are having to fight. You know, they just mentioned they had to fight what they were saying about, well, you know, this doesn't happen in government type stuff, you know, where, you know, it just doesn't happen this way. Well, yeah, there's a lot of things that don't happen, but we can't think it. We can't say it. We've got to guard what comes into our minds. You know, the Bible tells us to watch what comes into our minds. All right, so we talked about this. The word impossible means weak, unable. But then we said this word, weak in the mind. Weak in the mind. You see, if God is not strong in our thinking, then God is not strong in our believing. You know, what did Paul say whenever he was before King Agrippa? One of the first things he said when he got it right in his face, he said, I think myself happy. You ever heard that verse before? He said, I think myself happy. You know, we have to think all things are possible. We can't look at something and say, you know, I think that's an impossibility. It don't matter. Let's not classify it anymore. Let's just classify things as nothing is impossible for God. You know, when we leave the house with the kids, we have our confessions. We're going through confessions, and one of them is nothing is impossible for God. All things are possible for those who believe. And then we confess, I believe God. And so instead of believing your circumstances, why don't we only believe the Word of God? That would help, but there's a way to do that. All right, we said this in Isaiah 55, 7 and 8. It said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. So again, we talked about how God's thoughts are higher than ours, and God wants us to start thinking His thoughts. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I want to start at verse 22. So how do we begin to change impossibilities into possibilities? Because the only impossibility is the impossibility you think is impossible. The situation you think is impossible. There is no impossibilities with God. I mean, the Bible says it. You know, we read it with Mary, what the angel Gabriel said to Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, several years ago, this happened, but I think it was 3 years ago when Keys and I were in Destrehan. at Brother Jesse's one of his meetings, leadership conferences. He gave a testimony of a young couple who had come the year before for prayer. They were believing God for children, and of course they both came down, and Brother Jesse prayed over him and or prayed over them, and that was that. Okay. So the very next year, the wife, somehow she got word to Brother Jesse that they had had a baby during that time, and so he brought her up and said, "Hey, well, I understand. You know, last year we prayed for this young lady to her and her husband have a baby, and they said they were given a bad report. They couldn't have one, but then they brought the baby. The baby's here, and so she gave the testimony. She said, "Well, my husband and I were believing, and you prayed for us, and we even have our OB-GYN that delivered the baby and that diagnosed me here as well." And so the OB-GYN comes up, and he kind of gives his take on it. He says, "Well, I'm actually the doctor that had removed her uterus. Was it uterus? You remember that? I'm the doctor who removed her uterus. That's the reason why she couldn't have children. But I'm also the doctor who delivered her baby." Okay, that's an impossibility. We all know that. We know that's an impossibility because that's what the baby is living in there, in that uterus. Is that correct? Okay, so that's an impossibility, but it's no big deal. It is no big deal. You know, when my mom, her last baby, my brother, he was early, but she had a grapefruit-sized tumor in her ovary and then a baby in her uterus. And, they had to do an emergency C-section, so when they opened her up to get my brother out, they went in to go get that grapefruit-sized tumor out of her ovary, and it was gone, and they had seen it on a sonogram, I think, 2 weeks prior. And so again, only you and I are the ones who begin to deem something impossible or not. Now, our lips can easily say, "Well, yes, nothing's impossible for God. I know everything is possible for those who believe." Well, the question is, do we believe? So look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 through 25. "But the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness." Now, what it's talking about is this. When we're talking about eye is single, focused on one specific thing. Focused on one specific thing. So you can say this, when your eye, it says the eye is evil. You can say when your eye is double. When you got one eye on the good and one eye on the bad, or you got one eye on the problem and one eye on the answer, it says this, if your eye is evil, the whole body should be full of darkness. You see, this straddling the fence in our believing doesn't do any good at all. We think, well, surely adding some word to my situation that I refuse to let go of, looking at, my hand is on it and I don't need God's hand. Well, God's hand and my hand on the situation. No, let go. Let go of all of it and let the word take care of it. Just use the word. But a lot of times we feel we've got to do something about it instead of just believing God. Well, I'm not going to just stand here and do nothing. Well, spending time in the Word, meditating the Word, speaking the Word ain't doing nothing. It's doing everything. It's doing what we were told to do in the first place. And so trying to strangle someone to change their thinking or beat something to make it work, to put it in. I never claimed to be a mechanic, but I worked at an auto repair shop for a long time when I was a kid. And one of the very first lessons I had to learn was you never have to break something to fix it. I was taking off a front wheel drive CV joint. And I could not figure out how to get it out of the transmission, so I cut the little boot that covers it to try to take it apart that way. And my youth pastor, who was a mechanic, he came up to me and was shaking his head. He said, Michael. He said, "Man," he said, "just rule of thumb, you'll never have to break something to fix it." Now, thank God, I got a new boot, stuck it on there, pressed it on, it was fine. But a lot of times we think we got to hammer on something to get it done. We don't. We have to believe on the word to get things done. So back to here, "But if thine eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. Therefore, the light that is in you, if it be darkness, how great is that darkness?" So our little spirituality with our much focusing on the problem doesn't do any good. Any good. Does that make sense? You see that? Let's continue. Watch this. "No man can serve two masters." Well, wait a minute. We just saw looking at two things, the problem and the answer. Then it says, "No man can serve two masters." Okay, there's that two right there. "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you," watch this, Take no thought for your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, for your body, what you'll put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Now watch this. It's talking about serving. Now it says here, serving mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. But then it starts saying, take no, it says therefore. Everyone say therefore. Then it says, therefore, take no thought. Listen, you and I are servants to our thoughts. We will become servants to our thinking if we don't take our thoughts captive. And our thoughts, if they're not taken captive, will lead us into captivity and will lead us back down the mountain into a place called impossibility. It's our thoughts that leave us there. It lead us there. It's our thoughts that take us down that road. We have to dictate our thinking by the Word of God in our mouth and the Word of God in our eyes. Now, listen, there might be some corrections, some course corrections that you might have to make. We are not, and see, I love talking to Christians who've been Christians for a long time because that's a hard thing for people to listen to. Well, course correct, I've been doing this longer than you've been alive, son. Listen, I don't care. It don't matter. We all miss it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, that we let things slip. And I believe God that I'm a normal person. Normal people let things slip. You know, it just happens. We don't remember everything. And so that's why iron sharpens iron. You know, while the day approaches, encourage people. You know what I'm saying? All right, so back to this right here. Take no thought. We have to guard ourselves from allowing something to become a thought of impossibility. You can write this down, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. Here's those thoughts again. We have to get a hold of those thoughts and bring them captives. Make sure, because if we don't, they will take hold of us and make us captive. You see, the only impossibility are the impossibilities in our minds. Last verse, and I think we mentioned this last week. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And this is the Amplified. Now to him, actually let me read this in the Message. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Now, we all know the King James says, now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So it's talking about our thinking here. But I like the way the Message says that God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess. See, we keep trying to guess how God is going to do this or how God is going to do that. You can't. You can't guess how God's going to do it. He is a creative creator, and He's going to create something He's never created yet to create the answer to your situation. But if we limit Him with our thinking, we are the ones that lock His hands down. Does that make sense? This morning, I believe that we are beginning to no longer limit God with our thinking. I believe we are taking the limits off of God in our thinking and our believing because we are choosing to focus on answers instead of trying to figure it out. Like the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. Amen? Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. James 1 talks about being double-minded. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I believe we all have to battle that sometimes, being double-minded. What do you mean double-minded? Double-minded means being of two minds, the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. You see, a lot of times we try to do spiritual things out of our flesh, and then we try to do fleshly things and make fleshly things look and sound spiritual. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And listen, people see right through that mess also. And the problem is, if we act so spiritual, seem so spiritual, yet we are being so fleshy, you know, it's going to be hard to receive correction. It's going to be hard to receive instruction. Because flesh don't like to be poked with correction, does it? Nobody likes that. But listen, there's a lot of course corrections that we just got to take. And, you know, some people got to do some backtracking to get back to the last curve that they, the last intersection they passed up. They're supposed to make a left turn. Real simple stuff. I mean, real simple stuff. But, you know, it takes some eating, what they call eating crow. You have to go, oh, no, I got to go back and do that again. And I got to apologize to so-and-so. I got to admit that I made a mistake, you know. Instead of fighting to defend our mistake, just say, hey, you know what, I made a mistake. You know, marriages, family, jobs. People make mistakes in jobs, and instead of just calling it like it is, I screwed up. You're right. They try to fight everybody and show them how, you know, well, I didn't make no mistake. I didn't do anything wrong. Just because you're hard-headed to admit that you did something wrong don't mean you didn't do anything wrong. Make it all right. And so I believe God wants to do some things in our life today, but the very first thing that has to happen is we have to make a choice to get our minds off the flesh. We've got to get our minds off the problem, and we've got to keep our minds on the things of God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you this morning that your word, I thank you that, Lord, nothing is impossible for you. And just like the angel Gabriel told Mary that nothing is impossible with God, and Mary just took you at your word. Father, today I thank you that it's the same for us today. Nothing is impossible for you. Father, I thank you nothing is impossible. But Lord, there are many of us that, Lord, the declaration of our faith requires action. Because, Lord, we believe things are impossible until our faith gets in gear. But today, Father, I believe we are moving. I believe we are doing things. I believe that we are getting ready to step out in faith to prove that we believe you. Now, with head bowed and eyes closed, you know, I mentioned before that a doer of the word doer in the Greek means an actor. It means a poet. Poets weren't just people that quoted poetry, but they demonstrated poetry. They were actors. They were on the stage. There are some actions that God is requiring of some of us. See, we've been hearers of the word, and maybe we've spoken the words too, but we've never demonstrated the word. Maybe we've never sowed a seed. Maybe we've never loved on someone. Maybe God is wanting us to talk to someone. Maybe God is wanting us to repent to someone. Boy, that's a toughie right there. It's sometimes easier to give money than to ask forgiveness or repent or say that you were wrong. But, you know, there are situations that will not get corrected until that pride is changed. So that's pride, yeah. Yeah, not the inability to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, or the ability to make, you know, to recognize that I made a mistake is pride. And so there are some things that God wants. And now there's some situations, matter of fact, there's one that God brought to my mind that doesn't require you going back or them going back and repenting. It's just God wants them to see, or people to us to see, that we did make a mistake. That's why it happened. We did make a mistake. That's why it happened. And that's okay. Repent from that mistake with God, and God will take us to the next place. But God is merciful. God is full of mercy. His mercies are new every morning. And instead of trying to put works into motion, even spiritual works, God wants us to throw ourselves at the mercy of God. He doesn't want, like the prodigal son tried to act religious and superficially humble. Oh, I'm unworthy to be one of your sons. No. He just wants you to just say, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So that he can say, okay, you're right. You made a mistake, but you know what? I love you, and now I'm going to restore you back to where you used to be, and then some. And so there are some things God is wanting to restore us back. And see, all that stuff I just said, that was hard to swallow. That was the pat, slap, pat thing. Oh, my gosh, Pastor Micah, you just kind of roughed me up this morning. No. I'm hearing this right now because God wants to take us to new places and new heights. And if we keep going and doing the same things, and listen, thinking the same things, so our thinking is our believing. I believe that if we make some changes, some course corrections, that things will begin to happen in a brand new way. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for a freshness in our attitude toward you. I thank you, God, that we are tender toward you. And Lord, I receive instruction from you. And Lord, I thank you that we are open to correction. We are open to instruction. And Father, I thank you that from this point on, we'll begin to see your hand. We'll begin to see your mercy at work in our lives. I want you just to repeat this after me. Father, I repent today. I am sorry for going past your instruction, your correction. I declare my heart is tender, is humble toward you, toward the ministry, toward the Holy Spirit, and toward the Word. From this point on, I'm listening on the inside. I'll listen to your spirit. I'll listen to your word. And I receive your mercy. And today, Lord, I receive everything the enemy tried to steal, plus some. I receive all those things that you've ordained for me. My inheritance, my favor, my blessing, land that other people prepared, but I will receive the wealth of the wicked that's laid up for the just, houses that other people built that get turned over to me. I receive it today for my family as a part of my inheritance. I call my family blessed. I call my children blessed, my grandchildren blessed, and my great-grandchildren. In the authority of Jesus' name. From this point on, I will believe bigger. My vision will begin to expand. I will believe for things beyond my natural, beyond the physical. I will believe for things that only you can deliver. In Jesus' name, amen.